Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 1 John, the 4th chapter. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Fitting on the heels of Abram's daring rescue operation yesterday, this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. But it's risky to begin here. It's risky to argue from the lesser to the greater when it comes to God. For then it will be our standards to which he must conform. That can't be. We'll say, this is how I love. Therefore, a loving God would. And this phrase is the sure sign that we are creating God in our image, replacing our Lord with our own construction in some way. And that's what John calls elsewhere Antichrist. That is, not only against Christ, but taking the place of Christ. There appears to be an argument from the lesser to the greater in our passage today. No one can love God, whom he has not seen, unless he loves his brother, whom he has seen. What this means is not that it takes greater effort to love God, so first you should start by practicing with your neighbor. It's not saying that God's too big to hug, so start by hugging your brother whom you can get your arms around. No, it is saying what our Lord said elsewhere, that to love the least of these, his brothers, is to love him. God does not need to be repaid, as Paul said last week. He does not need our sacrifices to keep him fed, as Psalm 50 says. Love finds its completion, it is perfected among us, by turning in love toward our neighbors. We hear this each Sunday in Luther's post-communion collect. We ask that God would strengthen us through this salutary gift of his body and blood in the Holy Sacrament, that great testament of his love toward us in Christ. And we ask that he would strengthen us in two ways, in faith toward him and in fervent love toward one another. Love toward God is spelled F-A-I-T-H. He doesn't need our good works. He doesn't need our kindness. He doesn't need our affection. He is not needy or insecure, seeking fulfillment from us, or any of the many other lesser definitions of love that we might impose over his greater love. No, in this way, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. The testimony of the Trinity, the confession of Jesus, the Son of God, faith in these, in his saving work and person, these are the connection between us and God. But see what love the Father has given to us. He makes us children of God. He makes us brothers and heirs of Jesus. Likewise, then, his love seeks its fulfillment not from us, but in and among us, the brethren of Christ our Savior. Those who love and who believe in God are turned toward others. He desires mercy and not sacrifice. He's shown us mercy by his sacrifice in Christ. Now that means that our sacrifices must be living ones. That is, they must be mercy and love toward our neighbors. God's love toward us in Christ begets fervent love, not in reciprocation to him somehow, love that would be unseen, which is just the sort of abstraction that our world likes to call love, but rather it is to be love in reality. And we do that toward our brothers, toward others. That's what that term perfect means. Complete, fulfilling, reaching its goal among us. Whatever is done for the least of these, my brothers, Jesus said, that was done to me. And note that Jesus says, my brothers here. Now, this is not to say that we have no command to love our enemies or to pray for those who persecute us, nor that our reasonableness and our rejoicing and our peace should not extend to people outside of the Christian tribe. Sure, those are true too. But it is to say that we cannot just dilute the word love to mean any kind of thing that we desire. And so also, we cannot allow this term, brother, to lose all of its distinction and meaning among us either. For us, brother is a term we use to mean a fellow Christian, regardless of their last name, regardless of their ethnicity or their social status or the century in which they were born, AD or BC, even regardless, as we know, of whether you are a boy or a girl, you are still a brother in the Christian church. But it does not simply become all people, a brotherhood of mankind generically. Because we are brothers, as John calls us, by virtue of Christ, our brother, the Son of the Father, the one who makes us co-heirs with him. The love that John's writing about to us, his beloved brothers, the little children of our Father, is a love among a communion that we have, a fellowship. Yes, a family, so long as you don't dilute that term too drastically either. All around today's pericope in John's epistle, you will see his warnings about dividing our communion, our fellowship, and losing brotherly love by false teaching, or accepting and listening to false teachers, or by separating from the rest of the brothers and going it alone yourself, or by ignoring all of our collective interests together, or ignoring the poverty of others who are next to you in favor of chasing after this world's goods and its interests, or by letting our fellow Christians continue in sin without an eye to restoration by forgiveness in repentance and so on. We cannot love God whom we have not seen if we do not love our fellow Christian that we have seen, the one that we see all the time, the one alongside whom we live and work and hear the saving word of God. That's the one we love. And we love because he first loved us, from the greater to us lesser, and never to move beyond the greater. All that the name of Christ would be magnified among us, that his love would reach its ends on his terms among us, that as he is, so we also are in this world, together for life and therefore also into eternal life. God grant it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.